following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Hebrews chapter 3. So the writer of Hebrews, he actually spends two full chapters highlighting the supremacy of Christ. And now he points to the consequences of that supremacy for us. Complete obedience and belief. And so many of you have done yard work before. Maybe use a shovel or a rake at some point in time. Maybe on your job you have used the same repetitive motion. You'll know that over a period of time, without the proper protection, using the same equipment, you might build up something on your hands, known as calluses, a place where your skin gets hard, rough, maybe a blister or two. Sometimes if it's severe enough, maybe you'll lose feeling in that one area. Maybe you've had a scar before where your skin has been injured, cut, sewn up, put back together, and all the nerves in that one place have grown dull and you don't have any feeling in that area anymore. Maybe you've worn the wrong size shoes and rubbed blisters on your feet, or your heels have become calloused to the point to where you don't have much feeling. Your skin is very, very thick because of the repetitive use of it. Sometimes we also can develop what's known as a hard heart. Sometimes there are issues that we deal with, maybe on a regular basis, that lead to a hardened heart. Our heart becomes calloused. Our heart becomes insensitive. Maybe the same issue keeps occurring over and over and over. And just eventually you become numb to it. I'll make a confession. There are some times when I hear the same story over and over and over again. Same result. Nothing happens out of it. I just become kind of insensitive to the need sometimes. I don't have possibly the patience to deal with it sometimes. Whatever the case may be, maybe there are some people who are seeing all of these events unfolded on TV, and instead of dealing with it or having compassion upon it, they just take the remote and turn the TV off. That's just how they deal with it. So as the writer here in Hebrews talks about last week, Jesus being faithful, he talked about the house effect, the illustration of a house, used it multiple times. He also mentions the Old Testament and the faith, the hero of faith, Moses. He goes back to that time when Moses is leading the Israelites through the desert here in the latter part of chapter 3. And so as he talks about it, we see several times several people who have developed a hard heart throughout Scripture. Pharaoh is the first one that we see mentioned in Scripture that God actually gave a hard heart to. So before the Israelites left Egypt, moving out to the promised land in the Exodus event, chapter 7, 8 of the books of Exodus talks about Pharaoh and his hard heart. The first place we see that is when the miracles were performed. Pharaoh had his own magicians that came up against Aaron and Moses as they did their miracles. Pharaoh was unmoved by it, and he actually developed a hard heart during that time. In other words, he became insensitive to the things of God. Yeah, you can do miracles, but my guys can do miracles too. I've seen them before. Over, you're not impressing me. You're not getting anywhere with me. I don't see the point in what you're doing. However, it happens in chapter 10. We see that the Lord actually intentionally gives Pharaoh a hard heart. Why? The first five times we see his heart hardened on his own as they are going through the plagues. The first five times leading up to the final plague. When the final plague comes along, God actually, the scripture says that God hardened his heart intentionally. So the Apostle Paul points to this specific case when he gets to Romans chapter 9, verses 17 through 18. Listen to what Paul says about Pharaoh in the case of his hardened heart. He says, "For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens.'" So the question comes up, obviously Pharaoh would not be considered a believer. He would not be a follower of Christ. He would not be someone who believed in Jehovah God. But God used him in a way and hardened his heart intentionally. And that raises the question, are there people in this world, both believers and non-believers, who God intentionally hardens their hearts? And do believers actually develop a hard heart from time to time? Is there a time in your life where you ever become insensitive to the needs of another person? I hope not. But and what we're going to outline here tonight is ways to prevent a hardened heart. We've actually got six different steps that we draw out of this passage that should help you prevent from developing a hardened heart. Are there ways that we as believers can prevent from having hardness of the heart and become insensitive to what God is doing in and around us? So after spending two full chapters focusing on the supremacy of Christ, he now moves on to this matter of being faithful. He talks about Jesus being faithful. And then he talks about the readers themselves being faithful and not developing a hard heart. He reflects upon the book of Psalms as the main point. The book of Psalms, chapter 95, illustrates the Israelites as they are wandering in the desert, in the wilderness. And he talks about them being rebellious and at developing a hard heart during that time. So one of the first things that we see to help us prevent a hard heart, number one, we've got to hear his voice. Beginning in verse 7 of chapter 3, the writer is very, very point blank about what he is getting at here. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. It begins by saying, therefore, if you're using the King James Version, it's a wherefore. It is a continuation or an addition to the ongoing thought that points to additional relating concepts of that point. Faithfulness is the theme in chapter 3, and the writer talks about the faithfulness of Jesus and Moses early on in the chapter, and then he provides steps for readers to remain faithful and sensitive to the things of God themselves. Building on the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verses 7 through 11, the writer here provides steps learned from the Psalms and the wilderness journey of the Israelites that will help us as well to not develop a hard heart. He says, hear his voice. In the Greek is a word akouo, to be able to hear. We've discussed this matter before. What is the difference between hearing and listening? You can listen to someone just for the sake of listening. You can politely listen to one, but you can be thinking about something else. You can be listening to the words they're saying, but you're not hearing the message that they are implying through the conversation. So when you listen to someone, are you hearing to receive information, or are you simply just hearing and listening in preparation of a response? It's the same way with the Lord. When you read your Bible, why are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible simply to just gather information? Are you reading your Bible to hear God's voice, to hear him speak to you, to help prevent you from getting that hardened heart? So note the urgency of the writer here. He says, today, this very day, he quotes Psalms 95. He says, today, written by the psalmist almost 3,000 years ago, and repeated by the writer of Hebrews 2,000 years ago. He's saying this is fresh. He's saying this is applicable. He says, don't think that this was something written 3,000 years ago that doesn't matter anymore. That all goes back to God's word being fresh and new and applicable to our lives today. He says, today, if you will hear his voice. So step one to preventing a hard and insensitive heart is to master the art of listening to the Lord today, with a longing to hear his voice. Know that he is near and that what he has to say is fresh and new. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in the Lord's Prayer, that's what he's talking about. Give us this day our daily bread. He's not necessarily talking about food. He's talking about the bread of life, the word of God. And the writer of Hebrews is reflecting upon that. He said, today, if you don't want a hardened heart, if you don't want your heart to become insensitive, here's what you got to do. First of all, you've got to learn to hear the voice of the Lord each and every day. Make it fresh. Make it new. Make sure that your ears don't become calloused. Step one to keeping your heart from becoming calloused and hard is to make sure that your ears don't become calloused and insensitive to what God is saying. Here's what Jesus said would happen if our hearing becomes deaf to God's voice. And he quotes the book of Isaiah, Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. Here's what Jesus said. He said, hearing you will hear, but shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. I've got tinnitus real bad. My hearing is not as good as it used to be. And sometimes Marcia will say something in another room, and I'll have to peek around the corners. Exactly what was that? You said. Most of the time I've kind of made a joke at it. I'll repeat something that is so off the wall, and she'll look at me and she'll say, that's not even close to what I was saying. Well, all right, we'll say it again where I can hear it now. That's what we need to do to God's word, to keep it fresh and keep it new. If we read through something, we don't really get it, we don't understand it, we don't see what God is trying to say to us, sit there and meditate on it. Read it over and over and over again. Pray about it. Say, God, what are you trying? I know you're trying to speak to me about something. What is it? That's how you keep your heart fresh and sensitive and uncalloused to the things of God. Make sure you hear his voice today. If God is speaking to you, look, you don't have an issue. It's when you quit hearing the voice of God, that's when you need to be worried. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. He's quoting the book of Psalms. He said, look, you need to make sure that you are hearing God's voice each and every day, and that will help you to keep from getting a hardened heart. The next thing he actually reflects back upon the wilderness wanderings, two separate instances. If you're using the King James Version, the two words provocation and temptation come up, but the New King James Version says this, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. So the reference here is two separate incidences in the wilderness, one in Exodus chapter 17 and the other in Numbers chapter 20. The first time God told Moses to strike the rock. The second time God told Moses to speak to the rock, and he struck it twice. Both times the congregation themselves had lost faith and contended with Moses and tempted the Lord. And it was because of their disbelief that they became impatient, they became calloused, and they became dry and thirsty. So step number two to preventing a hardened heart, don't get dry and thirsty. When you get dehydrated, man, things just do not work the way that they should. Today, if you're listening to God's word, if you're feasting on God's word, if you've got that living water flowing through you, you're not going to get dry and thirsty. You won't have a calloused, hardened heart. So are there times in your life when you become bitter towards God simply because he is not providing in a timely manner? That's what happened to the Israelites at Massah and Meribah, the two places where Moses made water come out of the rock. Are there times in your life when you become bitter towards God just because he's not providing in a timely manner? They needed water. They were thirsty. They were in the desert. And if God is not providing in a timely manner the way that you think you do, you bow up and become dry in your walk with Jesus? Well, God's not hearing me. He's not providing for me the way that he should. I'm drying up. I'm getting thirsty. I'm just going to rebel against God. And you start to develop that calloused heart. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Let's just look at one of the cases that the Israelites grew impatient. We got time tonight. More often than not, this is going to become more like a lecture. If you didn't get a good Baptist nap today, now's your chance. We're going to look at several different places in Scripture. We're going to look at, we're just going to unpack this the best way that we can. Exodus 17, excuse me, in Numbers chapter 20. Exodus 17, the first time where he made water come out of the rock. Moses told them, why do you contend with me? In verse 2, why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Their hearts had already become calloused and hard and insensitive to the things of God. Even though all of the plagues had fallen upon Egypt, they didn't fall upon the land where they were at. None of the Israelites were stricken by the plagues. God delivered them. He parted the Red Sea. He drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And already they're complaining. They become calloused and insensitive to the things that God could do for them. They thirsted there for water. The people complained against Moses. And so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you, and there on the rock of Oreb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? They were dry. They were thirsty. They were tired. They had lost faith in God's ability to provide them. That's the same way we are in our lives as well. The river dries up. God's blessings dry up. Things aren't happening the way that we should. They're not happening in the manner that we think they ought to. And we become dry in our walk with the Lord. We get further and further away with him and become less and less sensitive to the things of God. So I want to point out two specific things here that will keep your heart well watered with an outpouring of God's grace. And if you want to draw from the well of God's goodness, to keep your soul watered, here's what you need. You need trust and you need obedience. If they would only have trusted in the Lord to do what only he could do during that time, if they wouldn't have contended against Moses, and if they would have just have been patient and trusted in the Lord and obediently followed him, they wouldn't have developed that hard heart, that insensitive spirit. The next thing we see happens in verse 12. We're going to read on through verse 9, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. We're still quoting from the book of Psalms here, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse number 12 is where we see our next step to preventing a hard heart at. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Have you departed from the living God? And has there ever been a time in your life where you have departed from God's will and God's way for your life? I think we'd all say that there's some point in time we've strayed away to places we shouldn't have gone to. But he's giving them a crystal clear warning here. Do not depart from the living God. Step number three to preventing a hardened heart is to abide in his presence. In one of just few places where scripture refers to an evil heart, the writer here points out the importance of not departing from the living God. Back in verse 10, he's pointing to the Israelites. He mentions that one of the reasons God was angry with them is because they always went astray in their hearts. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. At some point in time, we've all drifted to an area that we should not have. And it was probably because our heart grew calloused. It grew cold. It grew insensitive to the things of God. And here he's saying that an evil heart of unbelief will always depart from the living God. In verse 10, he points back to the Israelites and they're wondering. He said, every time they wandered away from me, every time they went astray in their heart because they did not know my ways. They didn't listen to my voice and they didn't abide in my presence. Now, verse 12, he points out that an evil heart and unbelief are the result of departing from his presence. Go back to the Gospel of John for just a moment, chapter 15. Jesus used the analogy of him being the vine and his disciples being the branches. And he's saying, as long as you stay connected to me, you're going to bear much fruit. As long as you abide in me, as long as you remain in me, as long as you stay connected to me, you're not going to have any issues. John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You want an evil an unbelieving heart. The warning here is to beware. Verse 12, he starts off by saying, beware. Here's your caution. Here's your red flag. An evil heart of unbelief is always going to be one that departs from the living God. It doesn't abide. It doesn't remain. The evil heart, in the Greek, it is the word cardia poinera. The inner self becomes wicked. It becomes evil and becomes corrupt when it fails to remain in his presence as much as possible. However, it's not just an evil heart that it results in. It becomes an evil heart of unbelief. In the Old Testament, the reference of an evil heart is mentioned only twice. And both cases are in the book of Jeremiah. And guess what the cause is? A calloused heart. A hard heart. Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 12. And he says, you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me. What was the first warning that the writer of Hebrews said? He says, you got to hear his voice. You got to hear it today. And here Jeremiah is saying they've developed a hard heart. They've developed an evil heart because they did not listen to him. Jeremiah 18:12 says this, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Not listening and not abiding will always lead to a hard heart. You've got to abide in His presence. You've got to remain safe in His arms. You've got to know that you are connected to the true vine to keep your heart from becoming hard and calloused. The next step to preventing a hard heart, point number four, you got to encourage others. You got to encourage others. Man, how much would we benefit if we spent more time encouraging others? The urgency of today emerges once again. Verse 13, he says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This time, the urgency of today points to a different matter, exhortation. The word exhortation, to encourage, to console, to urge someone to draw closer to the Lord. Could it be that a calloused and insensitive heart is caused by the inability to encourage and exhort others? Coupled with our next step, these two work together and complement each other. You see, if I spend all of my time abiding in the Lord, if I spend all of my time listening to His voice, if I spend all of my time encouraging my brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? Hardness is not going to set in. And more than likely, the other areas of my life will stay in check. Helping others will eventually help me to not develop a hard heart and a calloused heart. The next step in keeping and preventing a hardened heart, point number five, you got to keep a short sin list. See, if I spend all my time encouraging others, I'm not going to stray away from the Lord. If I spend all my time encouraging others, I'm not going to wander off in an area that I shouldn't be. If I spend all my time encouraging others, that's going to hold me accountable to my walk with Christ as well. 13b, he says, lest any of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. Here's what Matthew Henry had to say about what hardening of the heart leads to. He says, the hardening of our hearts is the spring of all our other sins. If I can just keep my heart sensitive to the things of the Lord, that sin list is going to grow shorter and shorter and shorter. If I'm hearing His voice on a daily basis, guess what? He's going to remind me of those things that I need to repent of. If I abide in His presence, guess what? His Holy Spirit is going to bring me under a point of conviction to where that sin list just gets shorter and shorter and shorter. But if my heart becomes hard and calloused, it's going to become rebellious as well. Repentance is going to be a lot less frequent. And I'm going to drift further and further and further away from the Lord. I won't be encouraging others the way that I should. And my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ will not be in check. The next thing he gives us is in verse 14. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ. That right there, in and of itself, that little phrase right there, the partakers of Christ, that's pretty significant right there. If we just think about how awesome it is that we have become partakers of Christ, everything else falls in line. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He repeats Psalm 95 that he repeated back in verse 8 just a moment ago. The last step to preventing a hard heart is to remain steadfast. remain steadfast. He says, for we have become partakers in Christ. What does that mean? That means we have come to exist as companions or partners or sharers in Christ, if and only if we become like Christ. And we remain faithful, steadfast to the end, just like Jesus did in his earthly ministry. He never wavered. He never faltered. He endured the 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Each and every day he had the opportunity to sin, just like we did. But because he was God in flesh, he was steadfast, and he continued faithfully to the end. Now the writer of Hebrews is saying that we as partakers of Christ need to remain steadfast, just like that. And he uses this phrase, partakers, several times. He uses it earlier in chapter 1, verse 9. He uses it earlier here in chapter 3. He uses it in chapter 6, verse 4, and in chapter 12, verse 8. And each time he uses this phrase, partakers, it comes with the warning of drifting away and becoming unfaithful as the result of becoming calloused to the things of God. Are you steadfast in your walk? Are you sensitive to the things of God? Can you readily hear his voice each and every day? Are you drinking from the fountain of living water? Are you abiding in his presence? And are you remaining steadfast in all of your ways? Paul uses the exhortation of remaining steadfast in several of his letters. One example is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Peter uses the term steadfast as an antidote to resisting satanic attacks. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Are you remaining steadfast in your walk with the Lord? Are you keeping your heart fresh and new by remaining steadfast? The writer of Hebrews uses it again in chapter 6, verse 19. This time he uses it in reference to the hope that we have in Jesus, that verse that I used earlier. He says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. As a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying that Jesus Christ is steadfast. He is the anchor of our soul. And we are to remain steadfast and immovable in the same way that Jesus was. So to close out the matter on remaining faithful and taking steps to keep your heart tender and sensitive to the things of God, he gives a repeat of the initial warning, today, 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 if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Lessons learned from the Old Testament. Book of Psalms, written 3,000 years ago. Lessons taught here that took the Israelites almost 40 years to learn. The writer of the book of Psalms and the writer of Hebrews both reflect upon the lessons that it took the Israelites 40 years to learn. What were those lessons? Listen to his voice. Drink from the living water. Abide in the presence of the Lord at all times. Encourage and exhort one another. Don't worry about other people's sins, but keep your own sin list as short as possible. Practice repentance frequently. And above all else, be trustworthy, dependable, firm, solid, and strong in your walk. My hope and my prayer is that Your heart does not become hard and calloused, but it stays sensitive to what's going on in this world around us. That you remain steadfast in your walk, Then each and every one of us will be looking for ways we can serve the Lord and ways that we can help each other prevent a hard heart. Father God, we come before you tonight. We just thank you so much, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing. We just thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word. God, I know that at times, Lord, it's hard for me to be sensitive to the needs of others. Lord, sometimes I know my old heart gets calloused. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll just help my heart to become more like yours, to see others with the eyes of faith, to see others through the eyes of Jesus. Lord, help my ears to always be open, listening for your voice, Lord God, listening for those promptings to respond to your will and your way. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to help us as a church to be involved in our community, sharing the gospel with others, knowing, Lord God, that our message is an important one, and our message is the message that mankind needs to hear today. And Lord, we just thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you so much for that precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray, Lord God, that each and every day we'll let others know just how much you love them and the price that you paid for them. And we just ask all of these things in the most precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.